Okay, who's funny in your generation?
There's a lot of people funny in my generation.
I don't know any. I'm asking all the time.
Oh, my Jesus.
No. I'm not saying not any.
Not your generation.
It's you and my generation.
I don't know anybody.
Welcome to the Chocolate Sundays comedy show presents
The Sunday Scoop.
We're back. And we got Lewis Belt in the building. But before we get into that, got Brandon Cormell back again. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
We're glad to have you, man.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. And also the janitor of Chocolate Sundays, Lonnie Scoop.
Lonnie Scoop.
Lonnie.
Lonnie
Scoop. And myself, Rich, your host. God damn. God damn.
Today.
All right.
Rich is a little frazzled.
It's the rain.
We are filtered.
We got a bio for you, Lewis. So give me 2 seconds. I'm going to pull it up.
He's not prepared at all. Mm-hmm. It's been a rough day on the podcast,
the Comedy Sundays Chocolate Scoop podcast, we got Lewis Belt, who has been killing the game and earning title of as the young OG, starting with his viral character, Sonny Bo, to now hosting Mundy Rays at the Hollywood Improv. He's taped three specials with us thus far, Never Grew Up, Rookie of the Year, and 1 year later. His Sonny Bo character, he's even starred in a Versus commercial, congrats on that, featuring Too Short, Mark Curry, and Damian Lillard. You can catch him and his laugh on the featured So Dumb It's Criminal with Snoop Dogg on Peacock. Welcome, bro.
That was pretty impressive.
He said congrats on the Versus commercial, but not on the three comedy specials.
Yeah.
No, that's expected.
The verses, that matters.
No, it all matters.
Cultural impact. You know, a lot of people can do a special. That's what's going on right now. It's hella specials being dropped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody can do a special, but ain't too many people that's been a part of legendary verses battles. So
I didn't know you had three specials.
I didn't know that either.
Are they hours?
No. I got three 30 minutes and really two specials, really, because what I said on the Boogie Comedy Slam Rookie of the Year is the same shit I damn near said on Never Grew Up special. Mm-hmm. It's just an elevated version of the Never Grew Up special.
Was one of those listed the Boogie one?
Yeah.
Oh, Rookie of the Year is the Boogie one? Okay. Yeah. That's the one I see the most. Is that the one you got the most attention from?
Yeah, for sure. Because
You were roasting Steph?
Yep. That just highlighted the whole situation, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think I promoted that one the most. Like, I really don't be, I gotta work on my promotion because I be doing hella shit and I don't even be promoting it. Like, I post it and tell people go check it out, but then I don't like repost the same shit over and over again. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Boogie Comedy Slam, because I partnered up with them, that they was pushing it so hard where it made me push it more, because I'm like, oh shit, I'm just reposting shit, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure.
I thought you do promote a lot. That's what I thought was one of your strengths.
I don't know. I think I'm good at marketing to a certain extent. I don't oversaturate the market, though. And sometimes that shit works. It kind of come off like thirsty and desperate sometimes. When I feel like I'll do it, I'll be like, I don't like that feeling. Like, I feel like I'm trying to force something down people's throat. Mm-hmm. But how this social media shit work, it be some shit people don't even see. Like you said, I didn't know you had three. It's like, yeah, but shit. Mm-hmm. Two of them got over 100,000. 100,000 views on both of them. So it's like people be seeing it, but if I reposted it, it'd probably be at 200,000, 300,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So be shit like
that. You could always go back into the archive too and just, you know, repost that, like cut those clips up for social, make them, you know, little bite-sized pieces that you can post. I'm sure people would watch those.
Yeah, for sure. You know? And then, yeah, the full Boogie Comedy Slam Rookie of the Year, that's just only on Amazon. So if I don't know how many views that motherfucker got, because it's separate, it's on different platforms. So I for sure got like several clips of just each bit, and all of them for sure over 100,000, 200,000. The Curry joke, that shit over 1 million. So, oh,
man.
Yeah.
So how many times do you post on social media now? Like a day, would you say?
I'm trying to post every day, but I probably post like 5 times out of 7 days. So, like, you know, every other day I post.
Yeah. What are you, which ones are you on?
Instagram.
You're not on TikTok?
I am, but it's hard because it's like, I've been posting shit on social media for like 8 years now. So it's like, that shit get overwhelming. It's draining. You feel me? Like, if you post something, then the community guidelines take your shit down. It's like, bro, like, I never gave a fuck about being famous on the internet. Like, I'm just trying to get my name out there. So it's like, if Instagram my biggest platform, and I post it on all of them, and whichever one accept my content, then I just be like, fuck it, it is what it is.
That's what. So I still don't understand on TikTok where, what's his name, Griffey, Long Beach Griffey. He can post stuff, and he says, like, the N-word, and F, like, he cusses.
Oh, okay.
And none of his videos get taken down. But then when we post something with, like, shit, they flag us and like they flag our videos.
So
you just gonna snitch on Long Beach?
I'm a hater. I'm a hater.
He's gonna wind up on the side of the street dead tomorrow, or Long Beach Griffey's page is gonna be gone tomorrow.
That's how that. Yeah, cause shit, I think my page got disabled one time and hacked before, so I lost like 60,000 followers on my first Instagram page, and then my page I got now is at 152,000, and I just got my shit back. I lost it for like 3 weeks. I was hella mad.
Wait, when you
got
say
hacked, the new one got hacked?
The new one got disabled, and I got it back.
But when they gave it back to you, they gave it back to you with your 60K, or did you have to grow it back up?
No, the 60K one, I lost that one. So if I didn't lose that first page, I'd probably be at like 200 something for sure. But
you got that 2-step verification on there now?
Yeah, I'm verified.
No, I mean like the 2-step. It's like how people can't hack into your account because they try
to. Oh yeah, I think I got all that shit. I don't even want to talk about all that shit. Niggas probably watching me right now. I don't know what I got, nigga. I'm protected though. But I know y'all find ways to get niggas. So just please leave me alone. I love everybody.
It's a brother trying to do some jokes.
He's talking about getting it taken away by Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram
not
took
my
somebody hacked it.
But I think the first one I got hacked though, for sure.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought you got hacked. I'm
on my mama, because this was like 2015, 2016. Yeah, they for sure hacked me.
She started all over?
Yep.
Sheesh.
Yeah, so it was crucial.
I'd be pissed off,
that,
bro.
60K? 60K is a lot.
That shit was a lot at that time, too. That shit mattered.
If I lose mine now, I'd flip out. I only got like 17K, and I would flip out.
That shit affect your business for sure.
They control everything. It's pretty wild. Your whole business can be shut down.
Yeah, so I'm at like 20K on TikTok, but it's like, well, what's the goal? Like to get 100,000 on TikTok or something? A million?
I mean, the goal is to get paid from TikTok.
That's what I'm saying.
They say you can get paid a lot from TikTok, though.
You can.
Oh, you can't?
No, you can. You can.
Instagram page.
Instagram page. Yeah.
I get paid like a little bit, not too much off Instagram. It's hard. Yeah, I get like 10 million views.
YouTube and Facebook to me is where the money is.
Yeah, I'm growing my YouTube now.
Oh, my mama.
YouTube, you get paid.
And they're going to start the Shorts Fund in 2023. Because right now the Shorts don't really pay. They give a little bit, but I think they're going to really start monetizing Shorts. That's the short form.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Oh, so that's YouTube's version of the Instagram Reels bonus program. Got you. Okay. What was it like getting the blue check? When did you get the blue check?
I was already the nigga who I was already, so it just mattered to them other people probably. But shit, to me, it's normal. Like, I don't know. I'm really who I am before Instagram, so I don't know. Like, my real name is Lewis Belt. I didn't come up with no motherfucking name. Like, my Lou Do Too Much Instagram handle, that shit, I had that before I was a comedian. So that was just, you know, you in high school, it's like, nigga, Instagram. I wasn't in high school when Instagram came out. But whenever the fuck I made my shit, 2013, I was 18 or some shit. And I just made an Instagram account, not even thinking, like, nigga, Lou Do Too Much. Appreciate it. So, like, I never came up with, like, a name for myself. So, I don't know. I just never cared about getting famous. I didn't know being famous mattered until money. Like, I'm not in comedy for money, but that's what the whole purpose was. Like, at one point, right, it's like, all right, how could I get some money out of this shit? So when it comes to, like, Instagram and getting verified, and you don't get paid for being verified, so why the fuck people care so much?
Hey, people, there's a whole market. like a underground black market for getting the blue checks.
I know a comedian who got that shit and then they got taken down.
Yeah, people buying it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm like, yo, hold on. Like, that shit's lame as fuck to me.
Yeah, it, but I understand it because it do matters to others.
Others, yeah. So it's the perception.
So I'm thankful for my blue check because it I guess it shows value to me to others. Mm-hmm. But how I value myself, I don't need no blue check. I was the nigga in my childhood. Like, what the fuck? Like, what? That's not gonna up nothing. I'm not getting more girls, or I got more game, or
you're already maxed out, is what you're saying.
Not maxed out. It's just that don't solidify me. That might solidify me to others.
Yeah.
So whatever make, you know, floats your boat to towards me, whatever, it's cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't give a fuck about that shit. I like it though. It's cool.
So how did you start? Okay, who are you? It's like, hey, you know, you
getting
are
deep
so,
on the-
I mean, yeah, I've always felt, you know, I've told you, you are so wise to me for being so young.
Thank you.
You at times talk like a pimp as well. Like, that's I feel like you.
In riddles.
Riddles and parables. Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus. Yeah. Ain't nothing jumping the patties in the pot.
Yeah, man. Oh, mama, that's some Bay Area shit, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like your parents are still together, right? I feel like that has a lot to do with it, on a young person being wise. And you have siblings?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
But yeah, so how did it start? How did comedy all start? I don't know the story.
I started stand-up when I was 18. I already knew what I wanted to do when I turned 18 because I was an independent study in high school. So I had a lot of time on my hands. So I started taking my career path seriously because I was like, shit, everybody talking about what they finna do outside of school. Motherfuckers going to college, some niggas already in the streets, all the shit. So I'm like, all right, what I'm finna do? Because I know for sure I'm not going to college, and I know for sure I'm not finna be no street nigga. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I had to figure out something like that fit me. And then shit, I'm like, all right, I'm thinking about doing comedy, and I ain't tell nobody. And I just had to wait till I was 18 because I want to cuss. And a lot of the, I couldn't get in a lot of places because you had to be 18 because of the little drinking, 21 and up and shit. So I found the little spot to perform at, and I tried it, and I'm like, oh, this shit go crazy. I fuck with it. And then I never stopped ever since.
Wow.
Oh, my mama.
So you've been pretty big on social media. How did you do that? Because you were doing it before people were really on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What made you get on it?
Because I thought, like, comedy was about, like, you can get money if you was funny. So my whole thing was, if I keep doing these open mics and I'm going to get better and better and better, and then I'm going to get paid. I didn't think you had to be famous to get money in comedy. I just thought you had to be funny. So when I was doing hella shows and open mics or whatever, I peeped. I'm like, I'm trying to charge people, like, trying to charge people to come see me. And one of my partners told me, a girl was supposed to come to one of the shows, but then the girl was like, she know me. She was like, Lewis act like he famous or something. Like, you feel me? Like, why would I pay to see Lewis? And she didn't tell me that. She told my partner. My partner told me, and it made me realize, like, wow, it ain't even about, like, if you funny or if you got girls or whatever. It's like, people care about clout, though. Like, I don't care about this shit, but people do. You feel me? So what I noticed, I'm like, oh, I got to start I got to up my clout. You feel me? Like, I got to do something. So I'm like, at the time, it was hella people on Instagram getting famous off stupid shit. You feel me, motherfuckers? This is when, like, the Welvin niggas was going crazy. Oh, you know, little D-Nuts. You feel me? D-Nuts.
Dark times.
It was hella stupid shit. I remember, what's the name? It was Fatboy SS or whatever.
Yeah.
He was
I haven't heard that name in a minute.
He was going to places, like jumping on hella boxes, and he was going viral for just crazy shit. So I'm like, what could I do to help people, like, come see me? Because people caring about, like, I'm doing stand up, and people like, you work with this person. I'm telling people, brother, he ain't no comedian, bro. I'm a real comedian. You talking about some internet shit? So I'm like, I got to get on the internet. So I did a skit as my character, Sonny Bo. And the reason I did a character is because I didn't want nothing to affect my stand-up comedy career. Because if I go viral for something, and I could fuck around, fuck up my, like, relationships with comedy clubs and shit like that. Like, feel me? So I'm like, I could do something stupid as my character.
You have freedom.
I got freedom.
Yeah, you got freedom in
to do anything and get away with it because it's like it wasn't Lewis Belt. That's Sonny Bo.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I did my first video and that motherfucker went up. The first one.
Yeah.
First Sonny Bo video and that motherfucker went up. And I just like, I went to work the next day. I was working at H&M at the time. So I'm in there. I get a girl number and all the shit. Whoop. And then she was like, wait, you look familiar. I'm like, what you mean? Like, where? I'm thinking she know me from some other shit. You feel me? A house party or something. You feel me? I'm like, where we meet? You feel me? She like, nah, I see you on the internet. You funny. You feel me? You nigga with the little dread character, right? I'm like, you seen that shit?
That's crazy.
She was like, yeah, that shit hella funny. Oh, my mama, as soon as I got off work, I did another skit. That motherfucker went up. I'm like, oh, I'm going. I had to switch jobs and hella shit. I'm like, this shit working. That shit worked fast. So I'm like, all right. So that's why I realized, like, content matter. Because, like, literally, I did Sonny Bo for, like, 4 months straight. And then, shit, all of my shows in the Bay was selling out. So I was like,
Damn, what started it all?
Yep. Sonny Bo, my character. So people was coming to my show because I was like doing it as me and Sonny Bo. So I always incorporated myself even with Sonny Bo. So it's like if Sonny Bo tripping, he tripping on Lewis because I always want people to know who Lewis is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like I was promoting just Lewis Bell, Sonny Bo. And Sonny Bo is my marketing tool, my marketing strategy for people to come to my show. So I'd be Sonny Bo and be like, hey, all right, we got a show in downtown Oakland. Come check us out at Woo Woo. And then people see the video and people really be pulling up to the show. I'm like, nigga, it was over after that.
Yeah. Crack the code. You figure out the formula.
Figured it out.
Code of the Matrix.
They like Sonny more than Lewis. How do you feel about that?
At first, I was like, I didn't give a fuck because I was getting money. But then I start people, I'm like, that ain't cool because Sonny Bo is not me. Like Sonny Bo and Lewis Bell is the same person. Like, because of course it's me and this is my thoughts. So it's not like somebody telling me like how to act like Sonny Bo or tell me what to say. Nigga, this is my thoughts and this is what I'm coming up with. But at the same time, people looked at it like, oh, some people thought Sonny Bo was a different person than me. So I'm like, damn, some people might not know Lewis Belt and know Sonny Bo. And if you love Sonny Bo online, you could be like, oh, if he ain't Sonny Bo, I don't want to come to the show. Luckily, Sonny Bo just attract hella niggas. And niggas don't support anyways. You know, so it didn't affect my paper. So, you know.
Oh, so you're saying the people that came to the shows were for Lewis?
Yeah, because I never was Sonny Bo as a I never put Sonny Bo as a comedian. Like, I never, like, said, come check out Sonny Bo on stage or no shit.
Or doing, like, sketches on stage.
Yeah, I never did none of that shit.
Separate.
I incorporated Sonny Bo as part of my bit, but I never marketed the show like Sonny Bo. It always said Lewis Belt. So I used to be confused how people used to call me, like, my Instagram handle, like, Lou Do Too Much. Or call me Sonny Bo because I never promoted my live act as those names and it be selling out. So I was confused. Like,
yes.
When'd you learn that you could write?
I can't write.
Really?
I don't know where you got that from. All that.
Well, no, I'm saying you're putting together sketches, you're writing your specials, stuff like that.
I'm not writing that shit.
What you mean?
I was working on the fly. I've been always working on the fly. Yep.
Wow. That's
so I'd be like, we can be in a conversation right now. Something happened funny. I'd be like, nigga, that's a skit. Let's record it. Cause you know, niggas filming on the phone. So I'd be, that's how all my partners was in my skits.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So that's another thing too. Is I never worked with no comedians until I got out here in LA. I didn't come up working with hella comedians. I always did stuff with my partners. So if I needed somebody to walk by me in a video, I'd be like, all right, I tell my partner, walk by me. And then, you feel me? Just always did shit on the fly. I learned structure out here. I didn't learn structure in the Bay. I learned how to hustle and work on the fly and do all of that shit. The independence of it, I learned that in the Bay. But structure, I learned that shit in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. For real.
So everyone compares you to Mike Epps. That's like the only thing people ever say. Do you work with him? Was that did you model your style after him?
No.
Were you a fan?
I was inspired by Mike Epps and I was inspired by a lot of other comedians. Jamie Foxx, Marlon Wayans when it comes to sketches. Closest thing to Sonny Bo would be like a Marlon had a character. I used to love that shit. Old dog or whatever the shit was. Yeah, yeah, Men yeah. in Society. Mm. Hey, what you share about my mama? You feel me? Mm-hmm. That nigga, that shit go crazy. Like, I was inspired by a lot of comedians, but the Mike Epps shit, it's just crazy because we just really have some similarities that me and him, it's just what it is. He's just older than me, of course, but my dad been in my life, my whole life. Like, I never went to sleep without my pops not being there type shit. So I would never mirror another man outside of my father. So when it comes to the Mike Epps shit, he's a inspiration. You know, he inspired me, but when it comes to who I am and my natural ability and what you see on stage, that's just really authentically me. And I done worked with Mike so much that that's who he is. He's authentically like that. And Mike has to meet my parents and my parents. We didn't spend a lot of time together. You feel me? And it's like, even my mom and dad had to say, like, damn, y'all just got some shit. Like, this how I look. Like, I was.
Yeah, you can't change your face.
I can't change how I talk, walk, and look. It's just, DC Young Fly looks similar to Chris Tucker. Like, I know Fly. Like, he not acting like Chris Tucker. That nigga really is DC Young Fly.
Like that, yeah.
He really like that. He not acting like Chris Tucker. So when it come to me, it's just like, shit, I'm not acting like nobody, or it's just what it is. But it's a gift and a curse. The gift is that some people compare me to a great. Mike Epps is a great. So if you compare me to a great, then that's Kobe can't get mad because he got compared to Jordan. You feel me? So yeah. That's the good part about it. The bad part about it, sometimes it can take away from who I am. People might think I might be trying to imitate somebody that I'm not, and I'm really who I am. So that's the part I don't like. Motherfucker be like, oh, you like Mike Epps Jr. Like, nigga, my dad's name is Lewis Belt. Like, I'm Lewis Belt Jr. You feel me? Grown-ass man.
Mm-hmm. People always try to compare people for some reason. Like, that's the first thing they do is compare other people.
In comedy, they do. Yeah. The YouTube comments, they always do.
Everyone compares somebody to somebody else. Like,
really? I don't hear it too much.
No, I feel like every comedian is like, oh, you remind me of this person. Or it's always you remind me of somebody instead of
for
just.
For real?
Yeah, I feel like that's everywhere. Like.
Yeah, and people do that everywhere. They did it to Nipsey when he first came out. They was comparing him to Snoop.
I never felt that, though, when I seen
because
Nipsey.
Our generation knew who Nipsey was. Yeah. But if you didn't know who Nipsey was, you'd be like, if you didn't know him, you could be like, okay, yeah, Crip from L.A. That's look like Snoop, kind of like.
And like, they don't even look.
Yeah, they just have braids. Yeah. Yeah.
But people will compare any say, you from L.A., you a Crip.
Yeah, yeah.
You trying to be Snoop. Like, nah, nigga, he just it's from just, where he from, and he look how he look, and that's how he rock it. You feel me?
Why not say his energy, too, though? Mm-hmm. Like, on the tracks, Nipsey definitely brought really that L.A. energy, that wave.
I thought
I would say, like, what Snoop did back in the 90s, that's what Nipsey was doing, like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because there had been nobody really out of L.A. that was on that level, would you say? Like, who else was, like a hardcore?
Kendrick.
I mean.
But Kendrick wasn't, like, hood like that.
YG.
He just grew up around YG. Hood people.
His style is completely different,
like,
though.
I consider, like, when I listen to Kendrick, I would say Kendrick was more of, like, an artist, right?
He just grew up in a bad neighborhood. He wasn't about that life, you know what I'm saying? He was, I mean, of course, he grew up around, like, certain shit, but he wasn't preaching that bad life shit.
And another thing, too, like, people, a lot of similarities, like, with artists, if you got something in common with somebody, too, like, Mike Epps, he a nigga. You feel me? Like, he's not just a comedian. He a nigga. You feel me? Like, I really know, bro. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, and same shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like certain things that I would say, people be like, ooh, like, you know, it might be like, oh, he testing the waters. You feel me? And it's like, Mike Epps like that too. So it's like, that don't help.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I fuck with it like that. But it goes back to how I was raised. It's like, you know, it's just, if my pops and granddaddy and all them was on TV, they'd be comparing, you acted just like your grandpa.
Yeah.
You don't know my grandpa. So you're going to be like, oh, you acting like, look, I mean, Mike Epps. So, okay, well, fuck it.
Okay, so I want to ask about D-Ray's show. You started hosting Mondays at the Improv. How'd you get the job?
I would say just on the behalf of me and D-Ray relationship, it's been solid from day one. a lot of people don't know that because I'm never the comedian that hang around comedy clubs. Like, Lonnie, you would know that. Like, I don't be just standing around if I'm not trying to perform or something. If I'm not performing, I'm damn near not going to be there. Mm. So a lot of people don't know me and D-Ray been knowing each other for about since, like, 2017 when Spike was running the night. And D-Ray was trying to take me on tour with him that year, but I was filming Are You The One. It was a show on MTV called Are You The One in season 7, and I was going to Hawaii for like a month. So what was the chances when I went and filmed the show, that was the beginning of his dates, and I missed out on the tour because I had to take the opportunity of being on TV or going on tour. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me run with the TV. Let me get my own, you feel me?
Yeah.
And so I did that. So by the time I came back, he already started his tour and he already had, you know, a feature act. So D-Ray was just loyal he's a loyal person. So he was just on some, like, you know, he already got somebody, so I can't go on the road. But when he can look out for me, he gonna look out. So So right after the pandemic opened up, I just called him and was like, you feel me? I had a bad show right out of the pandemic. I wasn't performing in front of people, of course, because I'm Californian. Mm-hmm. And I did a show, and I didn't do too good, and I just felt like hella rusty. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm forgetting my jokes and hella shit. So I called D-Ray. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to, fuck with the Mondays, you feel me? So we rock with it like that. He was like, let's do it. He was glad I called. It's perfect timing. You feel me? He was glad I called. And he was like, shit, I'm going to have you host this motherfucker.
Wow.
So ever since the pandemic, since everything opened up, I've been hosting every Monday at the Hollywood Improv.
Working that muscle.
And how is it going? Because I hear mixed reviews, but I've been twice, and that room is tough. Man. Which I said to you, and you said you didn't think so. But most people bomb in that room, Brandon, from what I've seen.
No, cause he hit me to do the show like last minute too, and I went there and I was trying a new joke out. And that room, oh my god, it was like nothing but hood niggas and bad bitches. And I'm like, fuck. And he was like, you going first? And I'm like, yo, it's about to be bombs over Baghdad. I'm about to suck. It was so intimidating. Like, nobody was coming to, like, everybody looked like they was mean, kind of. So, but it was a good ass crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it's intimidating, but it's like, it's a good ass crowd. But it was just a lot at first, because D-Ray was there too. And D-Ray came with like 10 of the finest women that I don't know how he found them, but he came with them. And I'm like, fuck, man. But it was a good show.
Yeah, I think it's funny because once I started doing it, Ryan Davis was like one of the first people to call me. Was like, bruh. He was like, bro, that room is meant for you. Because Ryan Davis know me. So he like, bro, that shit, only person that D-Ray would pass that shit down to would be you because of, he was like, bro, you can't be no, how could I, fuck it, I'm going to say it. You can't be no ugly ass, uncoordinated ass nigga for that room. Host-wise, I'm not talking about performing. Mm. But he said hosting, you have to fit the room. So, like what he was saying, it's like hella hood niggas, bad bitches, and D-Ray. So, D-Ray got this. He a Chicago nigga, so he gonna bring that. His energy is coming into that room. So, it's like, that's how I fuck with it. Like, I walk around, like, you feel me? Like, that's my energy. I don't talk to men past 10 type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck we talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, I fuck with the women.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, all right, women, that match. You feel me? Mm-hmm. The energy of that Chicago vibe, he's set in that room. Oakland, that's how that shit is. You feel me? Like, niggas don't come to laugh. Nigga, you gotta make them laugh. So, I'm used to that. And then it's like, I think another thing is, knowing the culture, a lot of people used to performing in Hollywood, and I think Mundy Ray's is the only room in Hollywood where the real LA be like, we in that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like Chocolate Sundays, I love it because it's more like it's more organized when it comes to people really coming to laugh. Like, nigga, mm-hmm. it's Laugh Factory. Nigga, the lights is brighter, everything. You know what I'm saying? Look like we're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
You know? So all you can just be like, what's happening? They're going to like,
yeah. yeah.
Feel
yeah,
me? Yeah. Monday Rays, how we fuck with every Monday. It's like, niggas is like looking at, you got to get people attention because it's a lot of shit going on. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
I know last night when, I forgot who it was, someone was like, what's up, white people? And the room just exploded. I'm like,
damn, for
too
real?
Too easy.
Yeah, that's yeah. easy.
Some that, no, last Shaq's night was one of those crowds that was just like amazing. Made everybody laugh. Mm-hmm. Everyone was killing. So it's like, what's up, white people? And the room explodes. I'm like,
I love performing at Chocolate Sundays.
That shit would not work so at spoiled. Monday Rays at
it,
all.
It wouldn't work.
They would look at you crazy.
Yeah. yeah.
But like, that's a good thing.
Like, that shit was so fucking fun. It was like, when I went there the first time, it was like, CS was like, like on Lion King, the good part, and then Monday Rays like that, where the hyenas be at. It was just, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? I was nervous. Like, niggas like had on Burberry shirts and shit. I was like, oh my God.
Dog, that's the best description of the two shows I've ever heard.
Dude, I've never been that nervous before.
Yeah. Chocolate Sundays, Pride Rock. Like,
yeah. You must never go there. Yeah. It's like, some like actual jokes. I'm like, fuck, oh, I wasn't playing around at all. Yeah, it was a good ass room. Like,
that's hilarious.
That shit was dope.
No, I need to go back because it must have changed. Because mm-hmm. that's how I felt when I went. The two times I went, it was rough watching. Damn. I would watch comedians that killed Chocolate Sundays on Sunday,
oh, yeah.
and then I just happened to go on Monday, and they're bombing on Monday yeah. at D Ray show. It was bad.
I'm gonna start pulling up.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, because that's what it's really about. Because that's the gift. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything shouldn't be the same. I think mm-hmm. people be hating on shit that's different, and it's like, bro, accept it. You know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know. So
you need that to make you work. Yeah, I feel like you said, Chocolate Sundays is easy.
Yeah, if you're funny though, D-Ray like, actually not told bad, me that once. Bad. He was like, it's too easy. Like.
He said, if you bomb at Chocolate Sundays, like you should go kill yourself.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Like, you should quit comedy.
That's a fact.
I've been there once. Like I've done shows there where like.
You bombed at Chocolate Sundays before?
I was hosting. It didn't go. I wasn't killing with hosting. It wasn't a bomb though.
Last night. You said before. Last night.
Oh, for real?
Damn. It was not a bomb, bro. It was not.
But like hosting first impressions is different. He hosted first impressions. That's
shit.
Different.
Than, yeah, yeah.
That shit. It's still the same crowd.
Yeah, but like it's. I feel like when you host. Not help. I feel like when you host and when you do a set, it's two different things. Like when you're responsible for the energy, that's different for me. So it's like I'm still not. I can do 20 minutes easily, but a 5 minute where I gotta set the tone.
But Brandon's not hosting, so he's starting to host. He's never hosting. That's a completely different muscle than just
exactly
set.
Hosting is way different from doing a set.
Crowd work is
tough. You gotta set the tone.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm saying. So it wasn't a bomb, of course, but it wasn't like I wouldn't have him going crazy and shit because it's just a different type of set you gotta do. Mm-hmm. But I do agree, like, because at CS on the main show, like I've said shit where it wasn't even a joke and they were laughing.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, this shit about to go crazy. When I say the actual shit.
When you do a set, if the energy is already there for sure. When you mm-hmm. host it, you gotta set the energy, and that's why I was saying. That's why our show Monday is different from Sunday, too, because the energy different. So, you know, D-Ray, you know, said his energy is that.
Yeah.
And so our energy is the same when it comes to mm-hmm. how we fuck with it. I freestyle all the time. He freestyle. He going to roast people in the crowd. He going to talk about Chicago. I'm going to talk about the Bay. We going to say he going to have this hip-hop vibe and fuck with the women. Same shit. So I think it was just organic why it was like that. I really peeped the difference between hosting and doing sets. But I'm used to hosting. I always hosted my own shows in Oakland mm-hmm. like every month. So and that shit harder than the improv. Cause at the end of the day, the improv is a comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, they still know what time it is. They, you know, the improv, that shit been running around for hella years. The shit I've been currently doing to this day, you know, having a room in Oakland is totally different because it's not a comedy club out there. So, you know, they don't even know that.
You're renting a space mm-hmm. at up in the Bay?
I used to. So, okay. Like, in 2000, damn near since I started, I was telling you about Sonny Bowl and all that shit. Mm-hmm. So, since 2013, I've been booking my own venues and shit in Oakland and setting up shop.
Gotcha.
But then, what, it's been the past, since 2019, I partnered with Marshawn Lynch. He got a restaurant in Oakland, and it's called Rob Ben's, and I do a night there every Friday. Do too much comedy night at Rob Ben's, and, you know.
Yeah, so you work that muscle. That's, it comes, like, kind of natural to host.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's different, like, when you, like, doing comedy, like, in a non-comedy place. Like, yeah. I was in a restaurant one time. They put the blender on during my punchline. Everything. Like, I was making a smoothie. I was so fucking mad. Like, who the fuck? Mm. It's just harder to get their attention.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, the restaurant didn't know it was supposed to be dark.
Yeah, so like, it's just.
I had to do every, I got, every time I do something, well, it's set up now, so I don't got to keep doing it over. But every time I set up shop in Oakland, it got to.
It's like, turn the lights off.
I got to set it up from the drunk. Like, I did a show. Shout out my nigga Jay Stylin. I did a show. He a popular rapper in the Bay Area. You know, all over the place, like Space. But he really hometown hero. Mm-hmm. You feel me? But I partnered with him, did a show like in 2017. This nigga got the venue and then didn't book no chairs. He didn't have no chairs because he like, nigga, I thought it was a stand-up comedy show. So that show you how far behind niggas is with knowing what comedy is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I get so much back home. Like, nigga, I wouldn't even be going to this shit. Like, niggas don't, comedy ain't cool where I'm from. You know, it wasn't, nobody was inspired to be a comedian in the Bay. That's not no shit to be. So niggas don't know the etiquette. Mm.
That is hilarious.
Oh, my mama.
Stand-up comedy.
And that's
show.
Hard to do a stand-up to a standing room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's odd.
Because people start talking to each other and stuff, yeah.
Well, that's what happened at that show. Oh, you weren't there. It was Trocadero. We went on Monday or Tuesday. It was for Ron G. And it was at the bar.
He was performing there?
Yeah, but it was like a workshop. It was a workout room at Trocadero. And it was literally like a bar, and everyone was still talking over the comedian while the comedians were doing their set. And the microphone was like too low, so you couldn't even hear the joke. Like, it was not bad, but they needed it to be a little bit better produced.
So people like, if people go to Oakland, they do better at that night if they like more... if they got some culture to them, bring your culture to wherever, you know what I'm saying? So if they don't give a fuck about your joke, they care about who you are.
Yeah.
Feel me?
Your energy.
Yeah, your energy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I didn't know that was special until I got out here, because that's all I knew. So when I came out here, I'm like, oh, niggas really want to really hear your joke. Like, they'll sit quiet for 4 minutes out here and then wait for your punchline, and then you can hit it with a nail laugh. That shit ain't flying in Oakland, bro. Nigga, you can't tell no 4 minute joke unless you Kevin Hart. You got to be hella famous. And that type of crowd I'm talking about, they ain't there.
They ain't gonna give you the respect.
Yeah, you gotta be like for motherfuckers to be quiet. You feel me?
I think that's every city except LA, cause Chicago is like that.
Exactly.
Detroit is like that. New York is like that. No.
Like long jokes.
Facts.
So if you go to the comedy
store. Even
Atlanta.
Niggas ain't patient out there.
Yeah, you got to get their attention
that's
quick.
That's a fact.
Yeah, yep. LA's the only place.
But every those cities got comedy like scenes. Too,
every black crowd, you got to.
But them city got comedy scenes. Yeah. Like Chicago been having a comedy scene since Bernie Mac and way back. You feel me? And New York got hella comedy clubs. Yeah. Atlanta got a comedy club. Oakland don't have a comedy club. So they got that energy like Detroit and Chicago, but they not even used to going to a comedy. Out there, they used to go into the Paramount, like the big shows, like where I shot the Boogie Comedy Slam, where that shit was at. Like, nigga ain't used to. They'd go to a local comedy club, but that's not in
that. Have you ever thought about getting into the comedy club business up in the Bay? Cool.
Man, if anyone can do it, you can, because that shit is rough. You know, we did Chocolate Sundays for like 3 months up there. That shit was rough. That was one of the hardest points of my career. Just, it's tough up there. The crowd, the location. It was just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
She tried to hide the venue from me.
What are you talking? Okay.
We gotta address this.
No, I have it in my notes. I told Chelsea, I told him, I was like, I think Lewis was upset with me about something, but I don't know what happened.
I wasn't upset, but I felt at the moment like disrespected. But then I had to really look. I'm like, oh shit, like what we talking about right now. It's so much shit that y'all don't even know because it you wouldn't know. So it's like sometimes I was ignorant to the fact that she might not know. I'm thinking motherfuckers already know what time it is up there. Like, like for instance, right, when I asked her about the venue, I'm like, all right, so where you going to do the venue at? She like, Secret Low. I'm like, I literally know every venue. Like, it can't be somewhere I ain't did it. Like, how you going to do something in my town that I've been doing for years?
But I don't know why I wouldn't tell you. Why didn't I say that?
You probably didn't think he was that well connected.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I understand. But I thought she knew.
Yeah.
Feel me? Because a lot of people from other places, we in Hollywood. Everybody screaming out of city. Everybody screaming out what area they from. But they really ain't. They repping the city. The city don't rep them.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those comedians. I'm not a comedian that.
Like, Oakland is you. Like, you like.
I'm not going to say it like that. But yeah, I'm saying though, yeah, how like, people feel like I'm one of the, for my generation, you know what I'm saying? I introduce comedy to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And it's what it is. So I thought a lot of people knew that. But knowing what I know now, wasn't a lot of stuff being filmed. This is shit just happening. I'm just making money. So when I come out here and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to perform on Chocolate Sundays. And Lonnie's like, yeah, you got to wait like 3 years. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm walking around like with hometown hero on my shoulders. And she like, I don't give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, shit. Well, I don't need you. Let me take my ass back home. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So that I felt like that's like me coming to like setting up shop in Hollywood. And I'm like, yeah, I'm finna be hosting a room. Feel me? Every Monday with D-Ray. And she like, so what room is it? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, it's a secret. She like, bro. You know, that'd be like Lonnie really in her head. Like, bro, I've been
I know
doing the Chocolate Sundays. I know the Hollywood circuit.
Yeah.
Where you finna go
that I
with
D-Ray
where I wouldn't know? And did she find out? It's at the Improv. We've been going there for 20 years, Louis. Welcome to Hollywood. That show been going on for 20 years. You ain't that special. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not that special, Louis.
Yeah.
So that's how I looked at it.
That's how you felt.
Like, hey, y'all ain't that special up in this section. Like, my section don't even know about a lot of this shit because they not on that. Now they do, not because of me, just because of social media. Times have changed. Well, I'm saying I've been doing this shit in 2013, 14, 15. I done lost a lot of money trying to do this shit. I done made a lot of money doing this shit. So it's like when somebody set up, that's like some drug shit. That's like a block. You feel me? Like if a nigga try to set up some drugs on your block, you like, where you getting it from or where you going? Nigga like, secret location. All right, if I catch you. If I end up on your block and you standing there.
Yeah. Hey. I think that's why. I think you didn't know that he had an impact in Oakland like he did. You thought he was just from there, like, you know.
Yeah, because we like didn't know each other that well at that time.
So, yeah, that's probably what
you
it was.
You had just started doing Chocolate Sundays, which you did not wait 3 years for.
No, I didn't.
No,
you bypassed I did that. Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Not because of.
Did you have to make a few calls or did you just know?
No, someone vouched for you, I think. Or I saw a clip. I think I might have seen a clip of you doing stand-up, and I liked you. I don't remember. Usually it's someone referring, though.
Yeah. Referral system.
And I was so thankful. You know what I'm saying? It just was, I just felt like, damn, that's why I say the power of the internet, because I'm doing stuff and behind the scenes. Like, you guys understand, like, most comedians just perform. Yeah. They never book nobody. Like, of course, everybody that been in a position. But I'm saying, like, a lot of people don't put up, like, money for their own shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people rep their city and all of this shit and rep where they from, but they don't even be out there. They don't even do nothing out there. I'm not a comedian to just be like, yeah, I'm from the Bay Area and I don't be in the Bay. I'm one of the ones I'm really in the Bay. So it's different. I go to a lot of cities and the comedians, nigga ain't been there in 5, 6, 7 years. If we talking about the Hollywood scene, in Hollywood, a lot of people, it's promoting cities that don't promote them. It's not that.
Yeah. Yeah. Grassroots. That kind of reminds me of Joe Coy. He did the same thing where he was just renting out theaters back in the day when he didn't have, you know, a following. They would promote, and then it just kept growing to the point where now, you know, he's Joe Coy.
But. People sleep on home, bro. Mm-hmm. Your hometown matter, bro. Like, any city, wherever you from, bro, home matter. Because at the end of the day, people got to connect you with something. You know what I'm saying? And at the day, people travel. People talk. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, if it wasn't... That's another thing why me and D-Ray connected, too, because I think he seen the independence in me. Because even when it comes to the Young OG show, like, I'm not... Before the Young OG show, I don't remember just hella motherfuckers just... doing hella rooms and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. it's a circuit out here. You know, you got Chocolate Sundays, you got Monday Rays.
Yep.
And other rooms. I remember we had the comedy store.
Tripping on Thursday.
And Wednesday had a night when I first came out here.
CP has his room on Wednesdays.
Isn't
now.
That tripping on too?
That's not before 2019, though.
Yeah, no, oh, yeah, yeah.
This is
yeah,
something. I'm new. Saying when I'm coming out here and I'm observing.
Oh, got you, yeah.
Niggas ain't, it's blocks. Nobody's selling no rocks. we talking about the dope game.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to get some dope. Nobody's setting up shop. Everybody just buying.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's selling nothing. Yep. So I'm saying in 2000, I've been coming back and forth. For hella years, you know, to Hollywood, but I never always set up shop back home. So I come out here and fuck around. But I'm like, all right, I'm finna set up shop. It's open, you know? So you got Monday, D-Ray, Sunday, Chocolate Sundays. At Wednesday night, it was, what's that shit? All Def was doing something.
Was it Spike?
Oh, yeah, at the Chinese Theater?
Chinese Theater. They was doing something on Wednesdays.
Mm.
So really, Tuesday was the only night that was open.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday nights was the night that was open. Well, I'm like, nobody doing nothing on Tuesday out here, though. Because the Tuesday night you was talking about, that's before my time. At the Comedy Store on Tuesday. No, it was, what's the name, Red Grant.
Yeah, you was...
I was out here at the Comedy Store. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That got shut down. After that got shut down, nothing happened on Tuesday. So I'm finna do the Young OG show on Tuesday. You feel me? And shit. And what was going on at the time, too, I peeped that it's so many veterans that be able to get stage time because they know each other. You know what I'm saying? You had to go through Alani. You got to go through Big Spike. You got to go through so many people to get on these stages. You know, you pull up and you're not a vet. You know, you a new comedian. Are you a new comedian? They're going to be like, so... If nobody vouch for you, you're not going to perform.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. You feel me? Because I'm like, what about if I'm funny, though? You never know somebody funny if they don't get the opportunity. So I didn't like the politics. So I'm like, the Young OG show concept is going to be about you can come to this room on a Tuesday, and you is welcome. My generation welcome. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I start doing that once a month, me and my nigga Teddy Ray. Rest in peace, Teddy. You feel me? And, yeah. And that was the play. That shit was popping. Corey Holcomb slid, Deion Cole slid, just the bigger names, but they slid because they were supporting what I was doing for my generation. Cause I'm like, bro, I don't like that gatekeeping shit. Like, you feel me? So
yeah.
Okay, who's funny in your generation?
That's a lot of people funny in my generation.
I don't know any. I'm asking all the time.
Oh, my Jesus.
No. I'm not saying not any. Obviously.
Strike two.
No.
Not this generation.
It's a lot of people. Yeah, you in my generation.
What the fuck? Jesus Christ.
Brandon, I'm sorry, bro.
I thought you were older, Brandon. I think of Lou is so much younger.
She done told this nigga he ain't funny. He ain't funny. He should kill himself.
I'm in a generation. Like, she's like, I don't know anybody. And I mean anybody. That's
yeah. You know what? You know a lot of comedians doing, dude. They trying to be a part of our generation because they didn't make it in their generation.
Facts.
It's a lot they're of old ass comedians trying to hate on our generation.
Cause they missed the way.
Because they missed, they wasn't the niggas in their generation.
Yeah. So that was me.
Anybody.
Wait, I did not know that's what the show was. I would have been going to find young comics. You should see on my Instagram, I'm always posting who are the young, funny comics.
Yeah, you always looking for
because
them.
Because they don't exist to me. Not a lot.
You came to the Young OG show? Times.
I have, but I don't. I feel like I saw people I know that I booked. They weren't young. Like, who's under 30 and funny in stand up?
I'm not gonna just say our generation, just with age. You can't be, because I don't even know nobody under 28 right now as a comedian.
That's the thing, though. That's
like
what
crafting,
I'm saying.
Like building. Who's the 18 year old right now that's going out and doing stand up clubs? I can't even think.
Please, internet, please.
Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, all those guys were good in their 20s.
Facts.
Like, where are the 20-year-old funny people?
And I appreciate you that, Lonnie. I always appreciate, because you do promote that. You be like, where is the young funny, though?
Yeah, you say, like, they can't get up. I book them. I would book them. If I got referrals for funny people, mm-hmm. I would book them. But nobody knows funny young people.
But sometimes, sometimes it be funny people, but they not in the politics of the circuit. Like, for me, I wasn't in the politics of the circuit. I didn't group up with nobody. And, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with, like, in L.A., I fuck with Wasami Kwan. He not a stand-up. Like, he working on it. But, you know what I'm saying? I fucked with him on the content level. With Teddy, that was the only person I fucked with in L.A., on some comedian shit, you know what I'm saying? Other than that, nobody ain't probably ain't gonna be vouching for Lewis Bell, because I'm not roommates with niggas. I never had a roommate with a comedian in Hollywood. This shit political. If you don't
would
got
have
nobody,
a tape though to send me, like you did. You had video.
Yeah, but it goes back to that voucher shit.
A voucher works faster than a self. Like,
it does, but I watch. But when people submit video, I watch them because I am trying to find new people.
Yeah.
And I like giving opportunities to people I don't know, but I
think
it's
TikTok's fault.
What?
You know my theory.
Back to Long Beach Griffey.
I'm not done with him yet. I think it's TikTok's fault. I think because it's very appetizing and it's easy to be at the house, tape yourself. Put a sketch together, whatever, post it, right?
Social media.
It can go viral. Yeah, social media. But, like, it can go viral. You can get paid. You can get your audience, right? And you don't have to leave your house. I think the art of stand-up is kind of, we talk in this conversation all the time. Sometimes, like, is it dying? That's really the question.
I 100% like, say it's dying.
Is it dying? Because if we don't have, like, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds that are putting themselves out there to the rejection of getting on stage and working on the muscle of doing stand-up, I don't really think anyone's putting in the work like how you were putting in the work when you were 18.
Nobody, but people don't care about that.
What you mean?
Being a comedian is an old man sport. It's like golf. This shit ran by the OGs. Mm-hmm. Feel me? So at the end of the day, motherfuckers, people still be in competition. I don't think people want some new motherfuckers coming through.
I see what you're saying.
You kind of get what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
no, I get what you're saying.
You think they're not helping the next generation?
Of course not.
I don't think it's like going out of their way mentor.
Like David Arnold did?
But a lot of older comedians don't like if you're really funny. Like, they don't show love to people who are funny. Like if you like...
That's my point.
That's what I'm not like a lot of older comedians, like, they're not that nice. Like,
well, I do hear a lot about features doing too well and getting kicked off.
Yeah, you can't like to tour. Funny. You have to be like, you have to like have to, like, walk a fine line. You have to be funny enough, but not too funny. And it's like, why the fuck?
That am I like?
Why gotta water my shit down so you can shine?
You know,
like,
I hear a lot. It's a compliment, but I be like, but what motherfucker tell me all the time? Man, you a star, man. You don't need my help. Nigga, yes, I do. Fuck you talking about?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I do help need me. Help. Somebody help
me.
You know what I'm saying? Nice. So, like, when it comes to that independent mind state, you know, setting up shop, that's not by, like, because I want to do. Fuck, nigga, that ain't. No, that's, I have no option. Yeah. You feel me? Like, I went to the OGs and I asked, if we talking drug dealing term, I went to the OGs and asked them niggas for some bricks. They was like, they ain't gonna front me. Because man, you got this kingpin energy. You gonna be good? Nah, I need some bricks though. You feel me? Like, so it's like, all right, when I get my own plug and I start distributing to the streets.
Don't be mad.
Don't be mad at me, bro. We ain't collabing on shit, bro.
Hey, I remember specifically calling you and saying, whatever you need, I'll give you money. I'll help you promote. Facts. Let's do something. Yes. You didn't take it.
Yes, because I was traumatized at the time. It was a lot of shit going on. That's why I'm here right now.
So about that bread.
You're still holding your grudge on Oakland.
I'm glad we resolved it.
Yeah, way to get off his chest.
Clean slate today.
But then it'd be a lot of people don't be knowing shit because of, you ever been to a good restaurant? And sometimes you go somewhere so nice and so player that you don't want to share that information with everybody because you want to keep that to yourself.
Secret place,
secret place. Sometimes people do that with people where man, you raw, but I don't want to put you out there because of I don't know what they might be feeling. But it's like some people might feel, oh, this restaurant don't need no promotion. Y'all good. Y'all doing good. Nah, we could do better, though, if we had a little bit more support.
I've just never understood that mindset.
There's like, so much room for everything.
There's so much room for more like, comics, more person, growth. Like
everybody gets one at a time. It's a lot of comedians winning. Like people look at Kevin Hart and they say like, oh, only he makes it. It's a lot of comedians below Kevin Hart making good money.
You know,
that nobody wants to acknowledge.
Yeah, a good example is the 85 South show.
Yeah,
Carlos Miller been funny the whole time. Mm-hmm. This whole time, I've been fucking with Carlos in Atlanta at Cats, and he been hosting and being hella funny. Improv, all the shit, but it has to take a bigger platform for people to see that. But even with that, shit, nobody put Carlos Miller on a big platform. He put himself on one with his generation, with the niggas he fucked with.
It's just that selfish mentality. I don't know. I don't get it though. We're supposed to be just having a good time here. Like everybody's just like
there's always a behind the scenes. There's always politics.
It's so politics, bro.
As long as there's people involved, it's gonna be politics, and you're gonna have people that want to open the doors, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna have people that pretend to open the doors, but they really are holding the door shut. So you just gotta find who those right people are. You gotta find the Lonnies. You gotta find yourself.
See what I'm saying? How would Laugh Factory know who we is if it wasn't for Chocolate Sundays? Like, really, though, how many black comedians is really going to be performing that often at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood if Pookie don't walk his ass in there and line it up to the point where he has a night and he's going to do something for Kevin Hart's generation and our generation?
Exactly.
How are we going to be in that, though? How am I going to be at the Improv every Monday if D-Ray don't say, I like you, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you're a star. I'm going to let you host.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me Pookie's not a comedian, that's the one that did it, that looked out for our generation and for others, right? Of course, Lonnie, of course, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you have D-Ray, the Improv. It's not that many. It's more comedians and more comedy clubs than them spots I'm naming. It's more comedians. Mm-hmm. Imagine if another comedian had a room. I'd be still on the road every weekend. Not every weekend, but if I'm on the road out of state, then my night still goes on. Skinny Buff is the host.
Mm-hmm.
So what I noticed is when I was gone, while I was holding a grudge with Lonnie, right? Because when I was gone, I'm realizing, no, it's not no comedy going on because I'm not throwing the show.
Mm.
So when I'm not throwing the show, then it's nothing going on comedy-wise.
Yeah.
So you got to set a foundation where even if Lewis Belt is gone,
it's the machine.
Comedy is still going on in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Yep.
Well, Lewis, I think that's one of those things that is very obvious to you because you are who you are and you're that type of person. But to keep a room going, it's not just the comics. It's getting people in the door. And the average comedian is not a promoter. Like, that's what you do. You know, people come to see you, whether it's you, Sonny Bo, whatever, but you've built your platform, growing your social media. Most comedians can't do that. They can't fill a room with paid people buying drinks, 100 people week after week after week. That's the hard part. Lots of comedians try to do rooms, but it's hard to keep the show going. People ask me all the time, like, oh, what else do you do besides Chocolate Sundays? And I'm like, you think it's easy to see 600 people every week sell out shows? Like, that's a full-time plus job making sure that people are coming. And so that's why I think that comedians don't do rooms.
Damn, really? Makes sense, though.
Yeah, because you do that, so you don't even think about that being hard. You're thinking about booking comics.
Wow. What about the comedians that can do it? Why you think they don't do it?
Because it's a lot of work.
It
is. They just want to perform. Like, you're asking them to be business people. They just want to be stand-up comics.
They want to be talent.
Yeah.
Damn.
Versus being a producer.
How do you feel? Do comedians should think like should comedians think like that? Like, I just want to perform.
I think they should do what they want to do. If they don't want to have a room and handle the business, they shouldn't.
But if they have the capacity and the vision, I think
I think what you're asking, do I think that they should provide more platforms for other comedians? And if they themselves don't want to do it, should they, you know, front the money and have someone else do it? Yes, I do think that they could do that.
Mm.
But them managing a room themselves, no.
That is hard. Mm-hmm. I feel you. Mm-hmm. That is hella hard because, that is hard to do it in a spot where you don't got a lot of support outside of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because comedians – can't just maintain a room.
Yeah.
They're not. Oh, and they're not you with the blue check.
I'm completely tripping right now. And Kev on stage. Let's give a shout out to Kev on stage. I didn't even mention him the whole time.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Sorry, Kev.
Yeah. On what?
No, just in terms of
giving a platform.
Kev on stage is really great at
this.
Yeah.
He is intentional about trying to find and give new voices to literally new voices. That's the whole mission of the company.
Yeah.
So,
That was some of the new generation that I looked at that performed at the Young OG show. You know what I'm saying?
Did you do KYD?
Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about the Young OG show.
Yeah.
That was the whole purpose of putting people like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's what our generation need is people putting what Kev on stage doing, putting people on a platform that's not on a big platform. You feel me? So but like you said, that shit.
It takes effort. And I think that some comedians, like David Arnold, did it in the form of teaching a stand-up class.
Yep.
You know, not everyone needs to have a room, but maybe I think what you're asking is for more people to give back in the way that they can.
That's all
Whether
I'm
it's
saying.
One-on-one mentoring or whatever.
Because Kev on stage been doing it. He been doing it digitally. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't look at myself. I never looked at myself like a content creator. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was creating content. I'm doing a skit to promote a show. So, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't filming the shows. I was filming content to promote
the show. To promote the show.
So if I'm not doing a show, I didn't have no inspiration to do a skit. You see what I'm saying? So when it comes to like a lot of the say people in Hollywood, they was good at creating content. They was content creators. Like a lot of the comedians now, I didn't know they was comedians when I came out here. Like I worked with a lot of people and I didn't know they was comedians because they was.
You thought they was just making sketches?
Not even making sketches. Yeah, making sketches and working for companies.
Got you.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I never worked for a company, if you get what I'm saying, digitally. You know what I'm saying? So, All Dev Digital is a digital platform.
Yeah.
So, if you're not working, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I thought them people was producers. I didn't know the industry game. I didn't know, you can work your way up. I didn't know, you can start from coffee to being the coffee guy to the point where, and then now I'm the assistant. Now I'm the the manager. Yeah. Now I'm finna book myself.
Yeah.
I didn't think shit like that. Yeah, I just came in this shit nigga, let's just book the shit.
What the fuck? Just started book myself.
Yeah, well,
skip the coffee.
Yeah. What the fuck I'm gonna bring this nigga coffee for? Nigga, I ain't come out here bring a nigga coffee. I came out here to perform. Nigga, if I ain't perform, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But the time goes on, I see that was strategic. I'm over here giggling at niggas because I'm making a little money in Oakland and niggas is bringing coffee.
But they're building a network.
But they building a system
and
structure to, now I ain't the nigga that's making coffee no more. So I really love the process of knowing, certain things in comedy because I was so one-dimensional with being from the Bay Area, doing a lot of shit. Like I said, skits, getting the venue. I'm in my own world, not really realizing there's other ways to shit. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
I've been just learning, to respect other shit, but at the same time they need to respect certain shit too.
And you take what you like, right? So it's like you peep what they're doing and it's like, okay, I see how that process is working. I'm gonna take that and bring it back to your camp, and then you just keep fine-tuning
it. And then it is that, right? You got that, but what I'm peeping is that whoever record first, that's who creates it.
Ooh.
Whoever posts it first, whoever not records it.
Yeah.
No, whoever films it first creates it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I learned.
Getting into some.
Care to share any details?
That happens all the time. So say if I'm at a show,
name?
Right? No.
Rich is gonna average always.
No, look, for instance, right?
Who is stealing your jokes, Lewis?
Nah.
Who do you wanna?
But that's a good point too. I think comedians should be a little open to putting their jokes out there. A lot of comedians be hesitant to put their jokes out there, but then somebody can hear your joke and then they say it on a bigger platform.
And now it's their joke. Yep.
if you put it out there, you can pull receipts. Up a receipt. You feel me? So I'm just saying, whoever filmed first,
yeah,
that's who did it first. Whoever put it out first, that's who did it first. So if I say, if I tell you right now, camera's cut off, and I'm like, hey man, you feel me? Fuck with a winner, so you ain't got a microwave your dinner. You feel me? On some just, you feel me? Like, man, when you holler at a girl, you feel me? Tell her choose up and tie little screws up. Tell her that, right? But I told you that on the under on some free game because I fuck with you. Then you go on camera and be like, hey man, you feel me? I'm the nigga that, you understand me? Known for, feel me? Choose up, tie little screws up. Fuck with a winner, so you got a microwave your dinner. It's me. You like, you can be minute. At home like this nigga. But then they gonna be like, so he's then been, they he hear got me no say proof. It.
Yeah.
They hear me say it's like, oh, man, Lewis. Fuck with a winner, so you got microwave your dinner. Oh, you remind me of this nigga.
Yeah.
You remind me of bruh. Yeah. Nigga, what?
Yeah.
You know, I met bruh and I met these niggas 2014. Yeah. I'm acting like a nigga that know me.
That's kind of like you ever see like Malik S. That happened to him when he would say like the word twice like that. But it got big, but like cause like people on the internet were saying that shit. They thought he was stealing jokes when he was saying now. But so he don't even say the joke anymore at all. He'd be like, oh, I'm hungry. They think of like, ha-ha, David or somebody. So he can't even say that whole joke anymore because somebody on the internet said it.
Biting ha-ha.
Yeah. But it's like, he's been saying that shit since I've done comedy. He's been saying that two-word shit, like, oh, it's hot.
Facts.
But now he had to get rid of it because now it's like, oh, it's ha-ha, David. It's like, nigga, I've been doing this shit.
Feel me?
But it's like, damn, that's how it is.
That's what it is. You can't be mad at the game.
So you gotta like put it out, basically.
Put it
which
out there.
Sucks because you push it out that's not even ready, but you gotta just put your stamp on shit. Like, I got to it first, got it. Even if it's like incomplete, I got to it. You gotta put it out there.
Yeah.
This has been an amazing conversation. We want to ask one final question before we wrap. Lewis, how do you want to be remembered? So this could just be in comedy, it could be in life, however you want to take it.
How would I want to be remembered? Authentic, I don't know. I would say being genuine, being authentic. You know, I would want people to say, like, he was always this way. Like, certain things, you know, people say don't change. You're supposed to grow, but certain things you're not supposed to change. Like, you know, respect my vision and shit I stand on. You know what I'm saying? So, like, as a comedian, like, I wouldn't care to be... I care about being a better person than being a better comedian. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might be my gift and curse at times because my parents told me sometimes be too real for business. You know, so I want to keep that authentic side of me and I don't want to become a person that I don't respect. But at the same time, I still want to grow into a great businessman, but at the same time, like, stand on something. So I would just say I would want to be remembered for really being just a solid individual, and that's my goal, to do good business but still be like, I did business, bro. We don't, you know what I'm saying, we don't hang out every day or whatever, but he still was a good person. So, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, he made sure I made it home safe. Feel me? Like, I pulled up to his show, you feel me, in his city or whatever, and but he made sure I'm, like, you know, was straight. Shit, like, outside of comedy, like, you know.
Yeah.
If I got some food, you know, bro, let me get some food, bro. Like, at the end of the day, he was cool. Oh, mama's, nigga.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Oh, mama, appreciate y'all for having me.
Thanks, Lewis.
No, mama. Oh, no, it's all good, man.
Great episode. This has been the Chocolate Sundays Comedy Show presents the Sunday Scoop. And thank you, Lewis, for joining us. We can't wait to have you back on the show, man.
It's always a treat when players link around this motherfucker, man.
Awesome. Peace.
Great show.